B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Kuf Vov. We're going to start three lines from the top of the Amud. We saw in the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Amud Beis, V'chol ha'mekalkalin p'turin. Anyone who's doing a melocha on Shabbos, an activity on Shabbos, that's actually being destructive, not constructive, then he's potur on Shabbos. It's not called a melocha which is chayiv. Says the Gemara, V'chol ha'mekalkalin p'turin. Toni Rebavo. Rebavo read and learned, taught the following braisa, kamed Rabbi Yochanan in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Kol hamekalkalin p'turin. As we saw in the Mishnah, if somebody does a melacha on Shabbos, but he's being destructive and not constructive, he's potter, as we saw in the Mishnah. Chutz, there are two exceptions to this, michoivel umavir. If you wound somebody, or if you burn something, where naturally the very act that you're doing is destructive, wounding somebody is always destructive, burning something is always destructive, definitely for regarding the object being burnt, and therefore, it, besides for those two, everything else, if it's mekalkel, it's potur, these two, it's chayiv. Omer le, Rabbi Yochanan said, puk toni leboro. Go and teach this braisa outside the Beis HaMedrash, not in the Beis HaMedrash. Choyvel umavir einoi mishnah. The exceptions that you mentioned of choyvel and mavir, wounding and burning, is not, it's not correct. That's not the halachic ruling. And even regarding choyvel and mavir, one will only be chayiv if it's constructive and not destructive. V'im tim tzaleima mishnah, and if you're going to say that the braisa you taught is coming from a reliable source, I'll tell you what the braisa means, what cases of choyvel and mavir the braisa is referring to. Choyvel betzorich lekalboy, if you make a wound and the intentions of drawing out the blood from somebody or something else was in order to give it to your dog to drink, or b'mavir letzorich leafroy, or if you're burning it and you actually need the burning, you want to have the ashes, in that case, then the wounding, even the wounding by nature is destructive and burning is destructive, but since I actually want, I need the wound, I need the ashes of what I've burnt, therefore it's going to be chayev on Shabbos. And that's what the braisa meant. And Rashi stresses this point, that even these two, it's still called destructive. The person who's getting the wound is definitely not being repaired. That's not constructive. He's being hurt. But since the blood that I'm drawing out is for a good reason, is for a constructive purpose, namely, la'achirim, namely to feed the dog, then it's called destructive, but nonetheless chayev. Rashi, the term Rashi uses is that even though it's mekalkel etzel nechbal, mesakin etzel hakelev. Regarding the dog, it's called constructive, not destructive, and that's why it's chayiv. Continues the Gemara. And this is now a question on Rebavo. Rebavo just said that, let us try and understand this a little bit deeper. And we're going to need this following introduction for the next few lines of the Gemara. When you're doing any melocha, any activity, we always have to consider two things. Number one, what's the activity doing to the item itself, to the activity itself that was being done? Was it being beneficial? Was it improving it? Was it constructive? Or no, do we say that regarding the actual act that you did, it was not constructive, it was not beneficial at all, and the object with which the melacha was done had no benefit whatsoever, and it could even have been destructive, but it was constructive, it was beneficial to something besides it. It was used for something beneficial. It was done for some improvement someplace. That is the topic that we've had before, whether a melacha is tzricha legufa or not. Tzricha means it's beneficial, it's an improvement, it's constructive legufa for the actual activity. And that's a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Yehuda, a melacha she'eino tzricha legufa, even a type of melacha that you do not, is not beneficial, is not needed for itself, but it's needed for something else, that it's chayev, it's called a melacha on Shabbos. According to Rabbi Shimon, a melacha she'eino tzricha legufa is potur. You're only ever chayev if the melacha is needed for itself, if it's beneficial for itself. In the case where it's not beneficial at the best and destructive at the worst, then you're going to be potter. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says a melacha she'eino tzricha legufa is chayev, then in the case that we've mentioned of choivel umavir, then we cannot think of anything which is tzairich gufa, which means for the actual wound itself, it's never a benefit. Or for the actual burning, whatever's being burnt, that's never a benefit. It's getting demolished, it's gone. However, it can be used for something else. As Rabbi Eichanon said, that you can use the wound, or the wound is done in order to draw blood to feed the dog. Or you're burning something because you want to have the ashes. So it's a melacha she'eino tzricha legufa. So Rabbi Eichanon, who explained the braisa, he says, if the braisa has any credibility, then we'll have to understand that it's got some type of constructive use, which is eino legufa. It's not for itself, it's for something besides it. Now let's see the Gemara now. Rabbi Avoh himself, he assumed that the braisa that says chutz mi choivel and mavir means that whereas with all other melachas there's a rule that if it's lekilkul, if it's destructive, you're potter, there's a blanket exception for choivel umavir, that even if it's destructive, he's going to be chayiv. The Mishnah seems to be contrary to that. The Mishnah says all melachas, including mavir and choivel, it's if it's mekalkel, it's going to be potter. And we have to try and understand what's the point of the argument here, what's going on. Says the Gemara, Bohanan t'nan kol amekalkelin pturin. The Mishnah says, all the mekalkelin are pturin. Rabbi Avoh brought a braisa, and you understand the braisa to mean that when it comes to choivel and mavir, even if it's mekalkel, you're chayiv on Shabbos. And the Gemara explains, masnisin Rabbi Yehudahi. Our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda says, a melacha she'eino tzricha legufa is chayev. And therefore, even choivel and mavir, even though for itself legufa it's destructive, but even if it's a melacha she'eino tzricha legufa, you can be chayev. And as long as it serves a purpose, at least eino legufa, which is not destructive, you'll be chayev. Braisa. However, the braisa that according to Rabbi Avoh seems to hold that choivel and mavir is always, let's assume, is always going to be chayev, even if it's mekalkel, that braisa holds like Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon says a melacha she'eino tzricha legufa is potter. And choivel umavir, legufa, it's never ever constructive, it's always destructive. So now we have a real problem. The Mishnah we know says that choivel and mavir, and this is a Mishnah with the melachis, that there's nobody who says that choivel and mavir is not a melacha on Shabbos. How can, according to Reb Shimon, that a melacha can only be chayev if it's constructive, not destructive? Everyone agrees with that. And Reb Shimon holds that if it's not legufa, it's also potur. And for itself, chayvel and mavir is always destructive. So we have a catch-22. How are you ever going to have chayvel or mavir that's going to be chayev, according to Reb Shimon? It must be, says Reb Shimon, that I have a special psukim. I have an individual pasuk to say that choivel and mavir on Shabbos is chayev. Once we have an individual pasuk to say that it's chayev on Shabbos, then it can have different rules. And even though legufa is considered mekalkil, however, even if it's not legufa, if it's got some use, it will be chayev. Some even suggest, according to Reb Shimon, even if it's destructive completely, not only for itself, just chutz completely. Chutz mechayvel umavir, according to Rabbi Avoh's understanding, means that even if it's mekalkel mamish, it's going to be chayev, because Reb Shimon says, once I have a pasuk to say that chayvel umavir is chayev, then chayvel umavir is not restricted to the rules of the other melachos, that it needs to be constructive. My tamad, Reb Shimon. The braisa is following Reb Shimon, but Reb Shimon says that it's got to be legufa. And choivel umavir is mekalkil legufa. So what's the reasoning? What's the source of Reb Shimon? Says the Gemara, midi is chakra mishra mila. Since I need a special posuk to say you're allowed to do bris mila on Shabbos. Now bris mila is a chavala, it's a wound. And why do we need a posuk to say that, according to Reb Shimon, that it's mekalkel, and mekalkel is potur, why shouldn't you be allowed to do the bris milah on Shabbos? Why do I need a special pasuk to say you're allowed to do bris milah on Shabbos? Of course I can do bris milah on Shabbos. It's not a melacha, it's mekalkel. And since the Pasuk says you're allowed to do Bris Mila, it seems that a chavola, a wound, other than Mila, is also on Shabbos. Ha-choyvel ba'al mechayev. We learn from there that an other wound is going to be chayev on Shabbos, even though it's mekalkel. Another thing, umida osar rachmona havora gabi bas koyin. A bas koyin who did znus, she is killed with sreifa. They pour very hot boiling lead down her throat, and they have to cook up that lead. For whatever reason, it's not the sugya here, for whatever reason, we have reason to believe that Beis Din should be allowed to do this even on Shabbos. And there's a special pasuk that says, don't do it on Shabbos. The question is, why not? Why shouldn't you be able to do it on Shabbos? What malocha is there? Killing somebody is, again, it's mavir. And what's going on? You're burning, and it's the whole burning is causing destruction. You're using it to kill somebody. And the lead itself, what's the lead gaining from it? It's just getting destroyed. And since we need a pasuk to say that you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos, it would seem that if not for the fact that you have a mitzvah to do it, other than that, it would be osur. It would be completely osur to do it. And here, because it's a mitzvah for Beis Din to do it, we may have thought it's mutter. You need a pasuk to say, nonetheless, it's osur. Mida osur rachmona havora gabi bas koyin. Since the Torah says you're not allowed to cook up the lead for a bas koyin, why not? It's mekalkel. Since it's mekalkel, it should be mutter. You have a pasuk saying it's osa, that comes to teach us, Shema Mino, we learn from there, Mavir Ba'al Machayev, that in every other case, Mavir is completely osa. And it's osa everywhere else, and I may have thought that over here it's muta, so I need a pasuk to say it's osa. So that's what Rabbi Shimon says. I have psukim to tell us that Mavir and Choyvel is Chayev, even though it's Mekalkel. Rabbi Yehuda, what's Rabbi Yehuda going to do? Rabbi Yehuda says that a melacha which is beneficial if it's eino tzricha legufa is osur. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, we can understand why I need a pasuk for mila, because doing mila is beneficial not for the wound itself, but it's beneficial for the person, and since it's beneficial for the person, it's called a melacha. And therefore I need a special pasuk to say that it's mutter on Shabbos. And so too, cooking up the lead, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's going to say that since I'm using it, it's not beneficial for the lead, but cooking up the lead is beneficial to do the mitzvah that has to be done, that this person who did the Aveira has to be killed this way. So it's beneficial, it's no different to cooking up wood in order to cook on top of it. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, we need the psukim in order to tell us that even though Choyvel and Mavir are regular melachos, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore we need a pasuk to say Mila is Muta, and you need a special pasuk to say that in spite of the fact that Beis Din are doing a mitzvah, you're not allowed to burn the lead, to cook up the lead on Shabbos. Let's see that inside. Rabbi Yehuda, Hossa Masakinhu. In the case of Mila, and in the case of the lead, it's called Masakin. Maybe not for itself, maybe for something else. But Rabbi Yehuda says that a melacha she'eino tzricha legufa is also chayev. Ukadir of Ashi, Domer of Ashi, Ma'ali lesakin Mila, Ma'ali lesakin Kli. In the same way as when I'm fixing a Kli, I'm repairing a Kli, it's called a melacha here too. You're repairing the Odom. The Odom needs to have the Mila. Without the Mila, he's called an Oral. And therefore, even though the wound itself doesn't have a direct benefit for the wound, I don't need the wound, but I need to be Mohul. And therefore, it's a melacha. And regarding the lead, Mali Levashel Psila, what's the difference between cooking up the lead, Mali Levashel Samonim? Or what's the difference to that? And cooking up the herbs that were used in order to make the dyes in the Mishkan, that they cooked up the wood got burnt. It was not beneficial for the wood, but it was beneficial for what you were cooking. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's called a melacha. Continues the Gemara. Shi'ur hamelabein v'chulu. We saw in the Mishnah that the amount that you have to, that if you whiten on Shabbos, or menapets, or you disentangle, v'atzevea, or you dye, v'atove, or you spin, is kemeloi roichav hasit, the width of a sit, kofur. We have to know what that means. What is a sit kofur? A double sit. If you do any of these melachas to a piece of thread that is twice the length of a sit, then you're chayev. Says the Gemara, Rav Yosef Machvi Kofur. Rabbi Yosef, when he demonstrated how much this shiur has to be, he demonstrated in a way that was double. He would open up his finger, and the amount of space between his index finger and his middle finger, that is a sit, double that. That's as much thread that if you do these malachas, you're chayev. Rabbi Chiya bar Ami, machvei poshut. Rabbi Chiya bar Ami had a way of demonstrating the same size, but not having to show half, which is the width of the index finger spread away from the middle finger and double that. No, he would open up his finger, the distance between his thumb and his index finger is double the distance between the index finger and the middle finger. So he just opened up his thumb from his index finger and said, that's as long as the thread has to be, that if you do these melachos, you're chayev. Continues the next Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Hatzod tzipoir lemigdol. If you trap, if you catch, if you lock a bird into a closet, into a type of a cupboard, Vitzov vitzvi lebayis, and if you trap a deer inside a home, in a house, chayev yochayev, because that's called tzeda. A bird in a closet is trapped in, it cannot get out. A tzvi, a deer, which is locked in a house, cannot get out. Obviously, if you would trap a deer into a huge, huge, huge field, even if there's a gate around it, that's not going to be tzod, because he can get around freely within his enclosure. But a house is not called a type of enclosure that the deer can roam around freely. We'll soon see later how freely he has to be able to roam around. And since a deer in the house and a bird in a closet is called trapped, yochayev for tzod. The Chachomim say tzipoyer lemigdol. They agree with Rabbi Yehuda that if you trap a bird inside a closet, that it's chayev for tzod. Utzvi, however, regarding a deer, legina ulechotzer ulebivrin. Not only if you trap it in a house, you're chayev for tzod, you're even chayev for tzod if you trap it in a garden, in a courtyard, or in a bivrin, or any type of enclosure. It's also called tzod and is chayev. And in this detail, he argues with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says if you trap a tzvi, a deer, in a gino, chotzer, and bivrim, there it's wide enough, it's open enough that the tzvi can roam around, and therefore it will not be called tzod, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel oimer. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, and it seems in the Gemara that he's not arguing with the Chachomim, he's just explaining. Loi kol habivrim shovim. It's true, according to you, Chachomim, that trapping a tzvi into an enclosure is called tzod, but it's not across the board. It depends how wide this enclosure is. A typical gino and a chotzer is small enough that it's called tzod, but a bivrim, an enclosure, could be very wide. Not every enclosure is tzod. Zeaklal, the rule is, mechusar tzeda potter. If it's encircled, that it cannot escape entirely, but you cannot catch it, it's not in your hands. You still have to do an act of trapping it within where it is before you can get it, then you have not yet been chayev for tzod, your potter. If it's a big enough enclosure that you can't just jump out and get it, and you have to chase it around and really work hard to get it, we'll soon see the details, then it's not, for all intents and purposes, it's not trapped yet, and therefore you'll be potter. If it's closed enough that in order for you to actually get hold of this tzvi, you don't need to do a new activity of catching it, then it means that you've successfully trapped it, chayev and yochayev on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Tnan Hosom, we learned in a Mishnah as follows, Ein tzodin dogim min abivrim beyontav, and let's just introduce, on Shabbos, live animals are mukta. You're not allowed to trap them, and even if they're trapped, they're mukta. You're not allowed to take them. You can't do anything with them. You're not allowed to slaughter them. You can't shecht them on Shabbos. They're mukta. On Yontav, it's mutter to shecht on Yontav, but it's also to do tzeda. Only those malachas that you could not do before Yontav, some of them you're allowed to do on Yontav, only those that will enhance the food, the fact that you're doing it on Yontav and you didn't prepare it before Yontav. Catching an animal is also on Yontav. And therefore, an animal that's not been trapped is actually mukta on Yom Tov. However, if it's been trapped before Yom Tov, then now I don't need to cook it before Yom Tov, I don't need to shecht it before Yom Tov, because an animal that's shechted on Yom Tov is much fresher than if it's shechted before Yom Tov. So if the animal's been trapped before Yom Tov, it's not mukta, and therefore you're allowed to catch it, you're allowed to shecht it on Yom Tov. There's another halacha. Since an animal on Yom Tov, which has not been trapped yet, is mukta, you're not allowed to exert yourself, you're not allowed to do any tircha in order to feed it. However, an animal that's already been trapped and is now not mukta, because it's already been trapped, if it's not mukta, you can feed it. So we're going to have now a discussion what's called trapped on Yom Tov, and the same halachas will apply on Shabbos. Just on Shabbos, the discussion will be, if you do it on Shabbos, are you chayev for tzeda? And in Yom Tov, the discussion will be, if you did it before Shabbos, is it called trapped? And therefore, it's not mukta, you're allowed to feed it. So the Gemara says, we learned in the Mishnah, Ein tzodim dogim min abivrim. If you have fish in a biver, and we used the word biver before for an enclosure for animals, here we're talking about an enclosure for the fish. We call that a pond, a tank, probably larger than a tank, probably a pond. So if you have fish in a pond, then Ein tzodim, they are not called trapped before Yom Tov, and therefore you're not allowed to trap them on Yom Tov. That means fish in a pond are not considered trapped. And therefore you're not allowed to exert yourself and go out of your way to feed them on Yom Tov. Aval tzodin chaya v'oif. However, a chaya v'oif, a wild animal or a bird, that they are in a biver, they are in an enclosure that is enclosing them, then it is called tzod. It's called that it's already been tzod. That means chaya v'oif in a biver is considered trapped. And if you did that before Yom Tov, then tzodin chaya v'oif, which means you're then allowed to catch it on Yom Tov because it's already been tzad, it's already been trapped. V'noyisnim lifnei mazoinis. And you're allowed to feed them because they're not mukta. Continues the Gemara, uraminu. We're going to contradict this Mishnah we just mentioned from a Braisa. It says in the Braisa, Bivrin shel chayois v'oifois. We're again talking about the biver, the enclosures of the wild animals and the birds. V'shel dogim, and the fish. Ein tzodin mehem b'yom tov. You're not allowed to catch them on Yom Tov, which means that they are not considered nitzoid. Even though they are in these enclosures, they are not considered trapped. V'ein noisnim lifnei mazoinos, since they're not considered trapped, they are mukta. Since they're mukta, you're not allowed to feed them. Kashio chayo achayo kashio oifois haoifois. We have a contradiction between the Mishnah we mentioned in the Gemara and the Braisa we mentioned in the Gemara. In the Mishnah we saw that chayo v'oif are considered trapped, and in the Braisa it says that they are not considered trapped. Says the Gemara, bishlei mechayo achayo loy kashio. The contradiction whether a chayo, a wild animal in a biver, in an enclosure, is considered trapped or not. And we had a contradiction that in the Mishnah the Gemara brought, it seemed that it's called trapped, and therefore on Yom Tov, you're allowed to take them. And in the Braisa, it's considered not trapped. That we can answer that. Hor Reb Yehuda, Hor Rabbonon. You'll remember that in our Mishnah we saw that there was a machlekes Reb Yehuda and Rabbonon, whether trapping a wild animal, a tzvi, a deer, into a biver is considered tzeder. According to Reb Yehuda, it's not considered tzeder. It's only considered tzeda if you lock it into a house. According to the Chachomim, it's considered tzeda even if you trap it in a biver. If so, the Mishnah that the Gemara said that it's considered trapped is following the Chachomim, and the Braisa that says that it's not considered trapped will be following Rabbi Yehuda. Ela oifois haoifois kashya. How are we going to explain the argument between the Mishnah that the Gemara brought and the Braisa the Gemara brought regarding birds? In the Mishnah that the Gemara brought, the birds are considered trapped and therefore you're allowed to take them on Yom Tov. And in the Braisa it says that they're not considered trapped and therefore you're not allowed to take them on Yom Tov. The Gemara is now going to suggest an answer that would explain the oifois. Ha biver makura, ha biver she'enei makura. There's a difference as to whether this enclosure is actually roofed in or if it's not roofed in. If it's roofed in, then it's considered trapped. If it's not roofed in, then it's not considered trapped. The Gemara said that sounds like an idea, it sounds like an answer. However, the problem is we have to again get back to our Mishnah. In our Mishnah we saw that if you trap a bird into a closet, then everybody says it's called tzeda. But if you trap it just you catch it in the house. It means you lock it into a house, not into a closet. Everybody agrees that it's not called tzeda. That's why the Mishnah says that a tzipor is only tzeda in a migdol, in a closet. And a house is always roofed. So it would seem in our Mishnah that a roofed-in enclosure, the house that's roofed in, is never a reason that it should be considered tzeda. And therefore, it's not a good suggestion to explain the Mishnah and the Braisa. Let's see this inside. Do you want to say that one is roofed and one is not roofed? A house is always roofed. Ubein Rabbi Yehuda, bein Rabbanon. According to both opinions in the Mishnah, tzipor lemigdol in, only trapping a bird in a closet is considered tzeda, lebayis loy, but trapping it in a house is not considered tzeda. So the fact that it's roofed is not in the equation. If so, we have to come back and try and understand what point are the Mishnah and Braisa arguing regarding the birds. Omar Rabbi Barav Huna, Hocha B'tzipur Dreir Oskinon. Rabbi Barav Huna says, no, the truth is we are going to differentiate between a roofed home, a roofed biver, and a not roofed biver. The Mishnah that the Gemara brought that says that a bird in a biver is considered trapped is talking about a roofed biver. The braisa that the Gemara brought, that a bird is not considered trapped, is talking about a not roofed biver. You had a question that if you say that a roofed biver is called trapped, why in that case of our Mishnah, if you trap a bird in a house, it's clear, everybody agrees it's not called tzeda. Why is it not called tzeda? It's roofed. Says Rabbi Barav Huna, Hocha b'tzipor dreir oskinon. Our Mishnah is talking about a specific type of bird that's called a dreir. A dreir is a very free-spirited bird. Lefisha'enom mekabeles moros. It's a type of bird that does not accept any form of authority. And he doesn't care, but where you try to enclose it, he's always going to run away from you, and it's going to be very difficult to catch it. And therefore, in a house, it's not called tzeda. However, a bird that's not a tzipor dreir, such a type of bird, if you enclose it in a house which has a roof on, it's called tzod, it's called trapping. The Tana debate with Shmuel, Loma Nikro Shmo tzipor dreir, why is this bird called a tzipor dreir? Dreir, it's often referred to as a free bird. Dreir means free, but really the word dreir means to live. And the Gemara says, Mepnesha Doro Babayis Kabasoda. It dwells inside the house as if it's in a field. It feels completely free to go all over the place, and it's very difficult to trap it, and therefore tzipor dreir in a roofed enclosure is not considered trapped. Says the Gemara, Hashta Daosis Lahochi, once you've got to this point, that you've explained that the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa is not regarding the birds, is not that it's two different opinions. We don't normally like to do that. It's just one is covered over, one's not covered over. Then let's get back to the wild animals. Instead of saying that the Mishnah is the Chachomim and the Braisa is Rabbi Yehuda, let's try and explain that they're not really arguing. They're talking about a different scenario, a different case. That what? Hashtad osis lahochi, chayo achayo nami loikashia. We can explain the wild animals, the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Hob biver godil, the Braisa that says that a wild animal in a biver is not considered trapped is talking about a large biver. Hob biver god cotton, but the Mishnah that the Gemara brought that says that a wild animal in a biver is considered trapped is talking about a small enclosure, and therefore it's called trapping. Heichadomi biver godel, heichadomi biver cotton. What's the definition of a small enclosure or a large enclosure? And we're going to have three explanations, and all three are accurate. Omer Ravashi, kol heichadoroit basrei umotilo bosor sheichye. As long as you can give one leap and then lunge towards it, and you've caught it, that's called a biver cotton. That's a biver cotton. V'idoch biver gotl, if you have to run more and just a single lunge forward is not enough for it, then that's called a biver gotl, it's not called trapped. Inami, another way of determining a big or small biver. Kol heiche denofil tula diksolim adodi biver cotton. If the room is small enough that the shadow of one wall does not reach the wall opposite it, then that's called a small a bivar cotton. Now, of course, the length that a shadow goes is dependent on how high the walls are. But the Mefarshim explained that there was a standard height for these enclosures, and based on that standard height that the Chachomim knew, if the shadow of the wall does not reach the opposite wall, then it's called a small enclosure. V'idoch bivar gadol, if it doesn't reach it, that means if the shadow reaches the other wall, it's called a small bivar. If it doesn't reach it, it's called a big enclosure. Inami, a third way of determining, kol heicha deleka uktza bivar cotton. If there aren't lots of little hiding places and lots of corners that the animals or the birds could hide in and get away from the owner running after it, that's called a bivar gadol. V'idoch bivar, that the leka uktzukta, if you haven't got all these corners, then it's called, considered a small bivar, a small enclosure, because it's easy to trap it. V'idoch bivar gadol, however, if there's lots of little corners and niches where the animals could hide in and make it very difficult for the owner to trap them and catch them, that's called a bivar gadol, and it's not considered trapped. Continues the Gemara. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Oimer v'chulu, we saw in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, Loi kol ha-bivrim shavim, not all enclosures are the same, and this is congruent with what we just said now, that the Chachomim, we just explained, the Mishnah and the Braisa brought in the Gemara, that there's a difference between a big bivar and a small bivar. And that's what Reb Shimon ben Gamliel is saying. Loi kol ha-bivrim shavim, ze ha-klal, the rule is, mechusar tzeda potur, she'ene mechusar tzeda chayev. It just depends on how easy it is in order to catch it, and we just had three explanations in the Gemara what's considered a small enclosure and what's a big enclosure. Omer Rav Yosef, Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, halacha k'Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Rav Yosef is saying in the name of Rav Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, that the halacha is like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, and that's very strange, because Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is not actually introducing a halacha that the Chachomim argued with. So Omer Le Abaya. Abaya is commenting and saying, halacha? You're saying the halacha is like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Michlal de Pligi, that would seem that the Chachomim are arguing with Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. What makes that true? Omer li, so he answered them back. Reb Yosef answered back, my nafka l'chomina. You know what? So the Chachomim are not arguing with Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Is even more reason that the halacha is like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. What's the issue? I said the halacha is like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, and that's true. Omer li, so Abaya answered back, Gemara Gomor Zmeira Sittahei? When you say Halacha Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, that means that we have to remember that. We have to constantly revise that and keep in our mind this phrase, Halacha Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Do you want us to remember this just like a song? Just with no reason? If you've told this to us and you've given us this tradition, Halacha Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, there must be some halachic ramification, or don't tell us that. Continues the Gemara. Tonu Rabbonon. Hatzod Tzvi Suma v'yoshon. If somebody traps a blind or sleeping deer on Shabbos, chayev he's chayev. Even though when you caught it, the deer was blind and or sleeping. Chigir v'zokin v'chayle. However, if this deer was a chigir, it couldn't walk properly, or was very old, or was sick, potter, you're potter, because it's considered, you didn't need to do an activity, an act of trapping in order to catch it. Its state of being chigir, zokin v'chayla, is so to speak, an already trapped state. And therefore, if you take it on Shabbos, you haven't introduced a new trapping, and therefore you're potter. Omale Abaye Rav Yosef, Abaye asked Rav Yosef, Maishno hani u maishno hani? Why are you differentiating between a blind and sleeping deer and a chigir, zokin and chayle? Says the Gemara, hani avide lirabuya, hani loy avide lirabuya. A blind or sleeping deer, it's true that they're blind and sleeping, but if they sense that somebody is trying to catch them, they will quickly dart out the way and you'll have a hard time catching them. And therefore, the fact that they are sleeping or the fact that they are blind does not mean they are in a trapped state. However, a chigir, an animal that cannot walk or is old or is sick, then even if he becomes aware that you're trying to catch it, he cannot run away necessarily, and therefore, they cannot get out of your hands, out of your way, and therefore they are considered trapped, and therefore catching them on Shabbos is not a melacha of tzeda. Asks the Gemara, in another braisa we learned that chayla, if you trap an animal that's sick, you're chayav. So it seems that chayla could run away from you, and therefore it's not considered trapped before you trap it. And that seems to contradict the braisa we just saw now. Omer of Sheshes, Leikashi of Sheshes says, I'll explain it to you. The case where it says that a chayla is already considered trapped is talking about an uvtsana. An uvtsana is an animal that's very fatigued and out of exhaustion, it cannot run away. And therefore it's considered trapped, and trapping on Shabbos is not going to be chayev. However, in the braisa that says that it is considered chayev, that's talking about an animal that is just chayla machmas ishsa. He's just got a fever. If he's just got a fever, it's true that he's a bit weaker, but if he wants to get out of your hands, he'll manage to run away, and if he can run away, he's not yet called in a state of being trapped, and therefore, if you do it on Shabbos, you will be chayev. Continues the Gemara. Tonu Rabbonon. Hatzod chagovim, if somebody traps locusts, grasshoppers, gozin, another type of animal, tzirin, a hornet, v'yitushin, or mosquitoes, b'shabbos, on Shabbos, you chayev. Because trapping all of these, why shouldn't you be chayev? The virtue of the fact that they are around doesn't mean they're in a situation of being trapped. If you trap them, you catch them, you chayev. Divi Reb Meir, that's the opinion of Reb Meir. The chachomim oimrim, the chachomim say, Kol shebeminoi nitzoid chayev, v'chol she'ein beminoi nitzoid potor. The Chachomim take on a slightly different line. They say you're right that you're trapping them, but to do a melacha on Shabbos, you only chayev if it's normal. So regarding the chagovim and the gozin, those are types of creatures where people would typically catch them and trap them. So you do that on Shabbos, you're chayev. But in the case of the hornet and the mosquitoes, no person in their right mind catches and traps these animals. And therefore, even if you do it on Shabbos, you're going to be potter. Tanya Idach, in another braisa we learnt, Hatzod chagovim b'shas hatal potter. B'shas hasherev chayev. Even though in this braisa we saw that if you trap chagovim, which are grasshoppers, then you're chayev, but there's another braisa that says that if the locusts, if these grasshoppers are there whilst the dew is on the floor and you trap them, you are potter. If it's b'shas hasherev, if it's very, very hot, you're chayev. And before we explain that, Elozo ben Mavoyi says, Imhoyu Mekalchis, if these locusts, if these grasshoppers were coming in swarms, the Mekalchis boys, they were coming in swarms, potter, and you trap them, then it is potter. And before we go on to explain that, what happens when there's dew, the reflection of the sun off the dew into the eyes of these grasshoppers, it blinds them. And therefore, as we saw before, that even though before we said that a blind tzvi, a blind deer, is not considered trapped, however, a blind locust gets blinded, and therefore it's easy to trap them. So if you're trapping a locust on Shabbos, whilst the dew is blinding the eyes of this grasshopper, this locust, then you're not going to be chayev, because the very fact they were blinded, they couldn't see you, they couldn't get away, it means that they are in a state that's already trapped. In the heat, even though it might be hard for them to be flying and getting around, nonetheless, you're chayev. Now, Elozo ben Mavoyi, he just said a statement. When they come in swarms, they're potter. We don't really know. Is he commenting on the first statement or the second statement? The first statement of the braisa was that when you catch a locust when there's dew there, then you're potter. Is Elozo ben Mavoyi telling us that that's only true when they're in swarms? Or no? Is he referring to the second statement? The second statement says that if it's sharov, if it's very hot, and you trap these chagovin, you're chayev, and Elozo ben Mavoyi is saying that's only true if they're not in swarms. If they're in swarms, then you're potter. What halacha was Elozo ben Mavoyi coming to say? That's what the Gemara is going to ask now. Iboy Elohu. Elozo ben Mavoyi, areisha koi or yaseifa koi? Was he going on the first statement or on the second statement? Says the Gemara, I'll bring a braisa. Toshema hatzod chagovim b'shas hatal, if somebody traps a chagovim, the locust, the grasshoppers, when the dew is there, potter is potter. No exceptions. B'shas asherev, if you catch them when it's very hot, chayev yochayev. And on this, Elozer ben Mavoyu states, oimer afilu b'shas asherev, even when it's very hot, yochayev, imhoyu mekal chayse boys. But if they were coming in swarms, in that case you'll be potter, because there's so many there, and it's so hot, it's harder for them to get away. Therefore, the very state that they're in is considered trapped on some level. So if you trap them on Shabbos, you're going to be potter. Says the next Mishnah, Tzvi shenichnas lebayis, a deer that enters a house, through the door I suppose, is in the house, he's not considered trapped, the door's open. V'noal echod b'fonov, and somebody closes the door on him, now he's trapped inside. Chayev is going to be chayev, you trapped the deer. Noalu shnaim, if two people together close the door, pturim, they're going to be potur. Lo yochel echod linoil, if either one of them could not have closed the door on his own, v'noal u'shnaim, and both together closed the door, that's called ze'eino yochel, v'ze'eino yochel, chayovim dechayev. Reb Shimon says, even in ze'eino yochel, v'ze'eino yochel, he's potur, and we don't need to go into that here, we discussed this at great length on Daf Tzadik Gimel. Says the Gemara, Omer b'yirmi bar Abba Mashmuel, Hatzod ari b'shabbos, if somebody traps a lion on Shabbos, einu chayev, you're not going to be chayev, even though you've got him on a rope and you're holding him in your hands, or you're locking him in your house, whatever it is, you're not going to be chayev. Why? Because when that lion gets annoyed, he's going to break free from wherever you put him. So you haven't really done a tzeda. Ad shiachnisenu legur zaki shaloi, unless you put him in that unique cage that's made and intended to contain a lion, in which case you've done a proper tzeder, he can't get out. And then, and only then, you'll be chayev for trapping a lion. And in Mirat Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to start the next Mishnah.